Continuing our series in the writings of the Pizetzner Rebbe. And Yirtzeh Hashem, for the next hour or so, we're going to be speaking about the concept of the individual in the writings of the Rebbe. And so before we begin, it's a great, great schus. When we're speaking about the individual, so it's a great schus to welcome my parents to yeshiva and bereshuschem to share some words of Torah. So to be mechabed them, I thought we would begin with a poem, not a poem that I wrote, but a poem which speaks about the concept of the individual and how specifically parents have this way of bringing out and looking at their children with a certain sense of, as my father once said in some context, someone asked him about how many children he has or how many daughters-in-law he has. I don't remember which one it was, but he said, I have one. This is one, this is one, and this is one. Each one is one. So there's an amazing poet named Ruth Lewis. Ruth Lewis is a remarkable, I don't know if she's still a young woman, but a remarkable woman who wrote a book of poems called Memo to Self, a Balash Tshuva, who, like most Balei Tshuva who are still producing creative things, probably found the Torah of Breslov, maybe Chabad sometimes, that they didn't throw away their past life, but they're continuing to express that individuality that we'll talk about. She has a beautiful poem called Eyes. Filling out forms for the children's passports. Eyes. Eyes? How should she answer without telling lies? Raphael's eyes are dreamy blue, remote. Nechami's eyes are palest pale blue-gray. Shleimi's are dark, dark, stormy blue, deep, searching, flecked with gold. Fagi's are twin, glowing turquoise jewels of some exotic princess. Mindy's, sensible, direct, calm as clear blue waters. 80's, almost navy, soft, brimming with sympathetic tears. Arye Leib's, bright, mischievous, laughing as sunny summer skies. Ah, well, the United States government passport department is hardly interested in all that. Besides, there's not that much room on the application form. Eyes, she writes blue. When a parent looks at a child, when the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at us, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, when Hashem looks at us, there's no one circle to fill out on a form that can describe Hashem's relationship with us. Each one of us, when Hashem looks at us, our neshama is so particular, so specific. And even though sometimes it's hard in life because there's just not enough room on the sheet, for Hashem to fully express His relationship with each individual neshama, we should know that sometimes even though we feel that it's filled out just blue, or whatever aspect of our lives we're feeling that Hashem is responding to, in a certain sense, Hashem wants to write, and Hashem is writing, and is revealing so much particular about each of us. So it's a great kavod to have my parents here. The Pizetzner wrote an amazing sefer, which we've referenced a few times, called Tzav V'Zeiros, which was the Rebbe's personal diary, his personal journal. And in source number one, the Rebbe wrote, "Ha'adam tzarech la'asos la'atzmo sulamos al yedehem lef'amim ha'shemayma." Person has to make for himself ladders that sometimes he'll be able to climb up to the heavens. "Hanigun hu echad me'asulamos u'befrat kishmeraninim achar simcha shel mitzvah b'leiv nishbar." These ladders that a person wants to climb, one great ladder that a person can climb is the ladder of nigun, of song. specifically a song which a person writes after doing some act of observance, a ritual which creates within, which gives birth within, inside the person to a simcha shal mitzvah, or with a lev nishbar. Kol adam yesh chelak me'olam hanigun ulchein be'eis shemenagnim nigun tzarech la'orer chelak me'olam hanigun asher bo. Because every person has a, his individual or her individual chelak in the world of song, it's important to bring out your song, your nigun. And if a person doesn't, if all we do is sing the song of another person, so the Rebbe says, that's a little bit with a smile on his face, he says, that's like drinking from a cup of water that has the backwash of another person in it. If all we do is sing the song of another person, if we never sing our own niggun, the Rebbe was writing to himself in his diary. So there's something cheap about that, there's something gross about that. And just like every person wants their own cup of water that has nobody else's saliva floating around in it, every person should feel a certain sense, and does feel naturally a certain sense of wanting to and being disgusted by the notion of just copying other people and not singing one's own niggun. Rav Shmuel Brazil, in his Sefer, Bishvili Nivra Olam, which really is all about this Indian, you can, if you want homework for the follow up for the Shir, you can go read the whole Sefer, explains that this is what David HaMelech meant when he said, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. In source number 2, Kol Yehudi Yesh Lo Nigun Miyuchad Shetzarech Lashir Bolam Hazeh Shir Echad B'mino Hanotzer Migidul HaAdam Mitoch HaAdam Mitoch Nisyonosav. That every person with their challenges and with their blessings has their own nigun, has their own song that they're supposed to sing. And this is what David HaMelech meant when he said, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. That Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash is an instruction, is a commandment from David HaMelech, Na'im Zmiras Yisrael himself, that every person has to make a shir chadash, to sing a new song. Shad David HaMelech pona l'kol echad v'echad, David HaMelech turned to every single Jew, v'kor lo l'shir b'chayav, hashir miyuchad rak lo bilvad. He turned to every Jew and said, sing your song. So even though it's true that shir l'Hashem, shir chadash, David HaMelech, he sang so many songs, he turns to us and he says, sing your own nigun. The Rebbe Chaim's father-in-law was once sick. The Rebbe Chaim of Tzanz was a remarkable tzaddik. And his father-in-law was once very ill. He fell into a state what's referred to in halacha as a goses. And he came into his father-in-law's room. His father-in-law was very sick. And his father-in-law said, I want you to daven for me. Daven that I should still have a refuah. It's not too late. Afilu cherev chada. Even if a sharp sword, al tzavarech, is on your neck, don't be misyayish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy, and Arachamim, you could still daven. So he asked the Divrei Chaim to daven for him. And Divrei Chaim said to him, why should I daven for you? Not why should I daven for you, you're my father-in-law, but what zchus should I use to daven for you? How should I turn to Hashem and ask that you should have a refuah? So his father-in-law said, well, if I leave the world, who's going to take care of the other kids who are not married yet? So the Divrei Chaim said, I will. Baruch Hashem, I have adequate funds. I'll make sure that all your children get married. So who's going to run? Who's going to run the blood drive in shul? Who's going to do the hot lunches in school? So who's going to run the PTA meetings? So he said, I'll do it, or I'll get one of the Hasidim to. It's okay, it's covered. It's okay. So finally, his father-in-law, who was getting a little nervous, he said, but who's going to sing Ein Kitzvah on Yom Kippur right before Kedusha. Who's going to sing Ein Kitzva on Yom Kippur the way that I sing it in Shul? Everybody knows the tune, but who's going to be able to do it the way that... So the Rebbe Chaim said, ah, now I have something to daven for. Because every... Not that that was the only thing he was alive for, but that, of course, his talis and his tefillin and his davening, all of that was chashuv, and it was worthwhile that he should stay alive just for those things. But the Rebbe Chaim was trying to find what was that nekuda? What was the nigun of his father-in-law that only his father-in-law had, that it couldn't be replaced by any other person in the world? And even though we're referring in the past few minutes to a nigun, a song, so, and even though it's true that I walk through the dorm sometimes past the music room and someone's playing piano and I say, is that your song? You ever write your own song? You should write your own song. Pretty much every day I do that. But what if a person's not musical? So of course, when the Rebbe here is saying that a person has to write their own nigun, he's not talking about a nigun on a piano or a guitar or on a harp or a saxophone or with your voice. But to find each person his own nekuda for which he was created. Rav Volbi, the great psychologist Tzadik, who was Mashkiach and author of the famous work Ali Shor, wrote in Chilek Beis on page 71, Kol Adam hu bria chad pa'amit. Each person who's created is created as a bria chad pa'amit, a once in a lifetime creation, once in a universe creation. V'yedazos kol adam, every person has to know this. Ani im kolchosi v'tchunosai, parts of panai, sugulos nefshi. I, with my kochos, with my tchunos, with my energy, with my talents, with my particular face, yachidi ba'olam, I'm the only one in the world. Not in a haughty way. Min kolachayim achshav, in afechad kemoni, but that it's a fact that from the time that the first man walked on the earth until the end of time, there will never be another person like me. B'doros she'avru lo yeh kemoni, v'atzov kol ha'doros lo yeh kemoni. There never was before me, there will never be after me. V'im kach b'vada HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalcheni la'olam b'shlicha. Says Rav Volbi, if that's true, then obviously Hashem sent me here for a very specific purpose. And that specific purpose is to find my nigin in the world. So this is a reality. Every person has their nigun. The problem is that as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once quipped, in source number 4, Ha'adam gar ma'atzmo b'meshach shivim shana ve'inenu makir sa'atzmo. A person can live with himself for 70 years and not even begin to recognize himself. And so, as I alluded to before, it's the job of every parent, of every educator, and of every friend, to try to help, that we should try to help each other to locate, to find, to uncover the nigun that belongs to each of us. In the Chovos HaTalmidim, the introduction to Chovos HaTalmidim, as we mentioned once before, the Pia Zetzner wrote an open letter to parents and to teachers, who, as we've also mentioned before, the Pia Zetzner had a bit of an axe to grind with the parents and the teachers of his generation. And he opens the Sefer, really the very first lines, with an explanation of what the word chinuch means. When we talk about chinuch, what is chinuch? Shlomo HaMelech Amar B'mishlei Chanuch L'nar Al Pi Darko Gam Ki Yazkin Lo Yasur Mimena. Person has to train and to be mechanech the youth according to their way, so that even as they get older, they will not fall away from their training. Zeu ikra chinuch shelo bilvad b'sha she'anar na'ar. That the main point of chinuch, says the Pia Zetzner, is not just while the child is a child being watched, v'yad aviv ode takif alav, and the father's hand is still strong, holding on strong to the child. Alav yishmalo, then the child listens, v'yase atzmosa, then he does what he's supposed to do. Rakam kishi gadal luhu brishuso, but even when the child gets older and he's in his own rishus, he's moved on and he's in his own house and he has his own family and he has his own inyanim that he's interested in. Afki has kin lo yasr mimen. Because what does the word chinuch mean? So he quotes Rashi. That Rashi writes in Sefer Dvarim, ala pasuk, bana bayis velo chancho. A person built a house and he was not yet mechanech the house. What does it mean to be mechanech the house? Chinuch lashon hatchala. He has not yet begun to experience, to live in that house. Upashat shelo akol hatchala yomer lashon chinuch. But says the Rebbe, it's obvious to everybody, it should be obvious to everybody, that the word chinuch is not a stand-in for the word hatchala. They're two different words. And it's not always appropriate to use the word chinuch as a beginning of something, but only in specific instances. For example, he says, the Gemara in Pesachim says that maschilin b'gnos m'sayim b'shvach, when we sit by the Haggadah, on Leil Pesach, when we read the Haggadah, we say that we're supposed to begin, lahaschil b'gnos, to begin by talking about our deficiencies, that we came from lowly slaves in Egypt, and look at us now, Baruch Hashem, we came to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And it would be inappropriate, as the Gemara in Pesachim does not do, it would be inappropriate to say mechanchim b'gnus u'misayim b'mbishvach. That's not the right usage of the word. If somebody were commenting on that, they would write on the side, if it was an English teacher, they would write diction. It's not the right word. V'chein etzel ha-Sanhedrin matchilin menatzad. The halacha is that when you're sitting by the Sanhedrin, so you start from the side and you go towards the greatest of the scholars on the Sanhedrin. It would be inappropriate to use the word mechanchim menatzad. It's not the right word. So what does the word chinuch mean? Aval b'parshas lech lecha mefarish Rashi lanu yoser. Rashi explains further what the word chinuch means. That chanichav, the word chanichav means shechanchu b'mitzvos, v'hu lashon haschala, it's a lashon of haschala like we said before, knisas ha'adam okli le'umnos shu asid la'amur ba. Says the Rabbi, chinuch means that it's the beginning of trying to help a person or a kli, a vessel, or a house, or something, in the first case, to self-actualize, to become the thing that it was destined to become. You see the words of Rashi, we wouldn't have realized it if the Pesachim didn't point it out. Shu asid lamodba, to help the child to become that which he was going to become anyway. Sha asid lamodba. L'tashmisho asher hu mukhshar, to prepare the child for that which he is fit. When we say this with regard to children or to education, that means the goal of an educator, the goal of a friend who's trying to be mechanech his friend, is to bring out in the child that which already exists b'mida ketana or b'koach, or in potential, but it's behelam, it's still in hiding. Ula glosa the kevan shaisha israeli old bialduso ruach Hashem nishmas shakai tamuna vegenuzavo tsrichim legada lachanichoso lautzio ulegalso lafricha viel yehudi naman over es Hashem. Since a young Jewish child, still has the ruach Hashem, the spirit of God hidden within the recesses of his soul, the goal of a teacher, the goal of a parent, the goal of a friend is to help to nourish and to bring to fruition the natural latent potential of the child, which was there all along. And the truth is, it's impossible any other way. It would be impossible for a teacher to do anything but that. Because, as everybody knows, when you try to force a child to do something that's not in concert with the way that their soul operates, so it doesn't go. Chanuch lenar al pi darko, not al pi darkecha. You have to be mechanech the child al pi darko, not according to your way, but according to his way. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who we quoted before, who pointed out the problem that a person can live with himself for 70 years, but unless he has a good friend to show him what was there all along, he could not know himself after 70 years. That same Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once wrote in a letter, the collected letters of Yisrael Salanter and Or Yisrael, amazing, amazing sefer. We'll read it in the English just for the sake of time, so we don't have to read it and then translate. A teacher can't possibly bring out from the child anything other than that which is uniquely, latently hidden within the child. Because we know that concerning the healing of the body, there is an abundance of practical wisdom. Through application of the wonders of the theoretical wisdom, he learns the comprehensive knowledge of theoretical medicine. The physician develops a broad-ranging sagacity of experience. Concerning the healing of our souls, however, there's no practical approximation that can be made from the experience of one man to his fellow. That which works for one person does not always work for another. And while that's maybe true, I could ask my father, he's a doctor, maybe that's maybe true when it comes to the medical sciences, that there are occasionally things that people do not react the same way, not everybody reacts the same way, but by and large, we can use the theoretical application of the wisdom of the sciences of medicine to understand and to know after a trial period that if most people react to a particular chemical or to a particular herb in a certain way, we could rest assured, and even the halacha, once we know that there's a chazaka that a particular medicine works, we're allowed to administer it on Shabbos because we can assume that from one person to the next, the medicine will carry over, the knowledge, that theoretical wisdom will carry over from one man to the other. When it comes to the healing of souls, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, no such approximation could be made. And so if a teacher, if a friend, if a parent wants to help to bring the child's latent soul potential out, the only way is to help the child to find it for themselves, to help the young man or even the adult to find it for themselves. One of the most remarkable things about the Piasetzner's approach to this entire inyan is that the situation that the Jewish people found themselves in during the time when he was writing the Sefer Esh Kodesh, which has several pieces which speak about this inyan of trying to bring about the individual latent potential of every prat, of every individual person. Just to explain for a minute what the situation was at that time. If we can imagine the feeling of namelessness, of being marked with a number, of losing one's identity completely, that the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto must have felt, and even if they didn't physically get the number on their arm yet, which they would soon get, the Piasetzner, who was writing in the middle of the Holocaust in the most horrible, terrifying conditions, would get up week after week, stand up in front of his shul, and look out at a crowd of people who felt like there was no such thing as an identity anymore. We had an amazing woman come to speak in our yeshiva just a few days ago, and was speaking about how even the concept of a person's identity, when a young child looks to their identity, they look first and foremost to their parents. Is there anything which is more sure? As she described, she thought growing up that the way it works is like you get some sort of mother figure to look after you for a little bit, and then they disappear somehow and you get like another one. And that was the way she grew up, without an identity even of a parent. So in Parshas Toldos, the Piasetzner Rebbe got up in source number 14, to explain to the Jews who were standing in front of him that it's not correct, it's not true that we've lost our individual identity. And it's not true that Hashem only cares about the general or public suffering of the Jewish people. But not a single pain, not a single hair that fell from a single Jew's beard or head was passed over or not noticed by the Rabbonu Shel Olam. He begins with a question on the Parsha. Tzrichim lahavin al kolponim ma'at lefikat sechlein. We have to understand at least a little bit on our level. Ma meramez ha'inyan shesavvu min hashamayim. Why was it that Hashem organized that the brachos that Yitzchak blessed Yaakov were blessed with the machshava that he was blessing Esav? A question which many thinkers have spoken about and written about over the years. However, says the Rebbe, that Rabbi Meir said, "Bizman sha'adam mitzta'ar," at a time when a person feels that he's in pain. When a person is in pain, Shechina ma lashon omeres. What does the Shechina say? When there's a Jew anywhere in the world who's feeling in pain, what does the Shechina say? Kalani miroshi, kalani mizroi. My head is hurting, my arm is hurting. The Shechina screams out in pain, my head is hurting, my arm is hurting. V'navin l'ma nemar sha'adam v'lo b'zman sh'yisrael, k'ma sh'kasa b'kama komos. And I have to understand, we have to understand, why does Rabbi Meir say b'zman sha'adam mitzta'ar, when a person is in pain? As opposed to the language which is used in many other places, Imo anochi b'tzara, Hashem says, I'm with the Jewish people. Like we just read in the Parsha, Hashem said, I'm hearing the cries of the Jewish people. What was the chiddush of Rabbi Meir? Instead of saying v'lo b'zman sh'yisrael, like it says in many places, he said, Sha'adam mitzta'ar. Av Rabbi Meir omer zos al ha'pasuk klalas elokim talui. Rabbi Meir said this with regard to the pasuk, which refers to the obligation to hang, if there's a Jew who rachmana litzlan has to be put to death, there's a mitzvah that that person should be momentarily shown to people for the once in a lifetime experience of this happening in what even would still be called a bloody bezdin. So we shouldn't chas v'shalom think for a moment, like the Rashba writes in Siman Yud Ches, in the Shalas and Shuvas of the Rashba, why don't you make a bracha? Why doesn't the Beis Din make a bracha? Bracha Tashem Elokeinu Melech HaMasher Ki Tashanu Mitzvot Tzivanu L'harog Mechal Shabbos, or something like that. So the Rashba writes in Siman Yud Ches, that because we don't make a bracha, that's not Asher Ki Tashanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, Hashem doesn't want this. This is not what Hashem wants. This is completely bidi eved, based on the fact that Hashem gave us free choice, and that this person made a terrible decision. And in that moment, we get a glimpse behind the scene, and Rabbi Meir tells us that Hashem is screaming out at that moment, my head, I have a pounding migraine. My arm is hurting. Ki ima anochi b'tzara haya efshar lomar raka klal Yisrael k'shu b'tzara. Because the words, ima anochi b'tzara, like we read by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Sneh, just last week's Parsha, that's possible that Hashem feels the tzar of the entire Am together. Sha'az kol ha'am hayu b'tzara. But Rabbi Meir revealed here that this tzar that Hashem feels is the tzar of the individual. Not only any individual, but an individual who is guilty. V'zeh sha'adam mitzta'ar, the second to last line in the second last paragraph. V'zeh sha'adam mitzta'ar, kemo sha'amar v'sanhedrin, adam yechidi nivra. A person was created as an individual. Shagam al tzar adam yechidi, even for every individual pain of the people suffering in the Warsaw Ghetto, I want you to know, the P.S.S. looked out at his congregation, he said, I want you to know that every single ache and pain, every hunger pain, every time you wake up in the middle of the night and you're wondering, is this real? Hashem doesn't overlook a single scratch. V'alaprat v'ayachid, dafka shechino meres, even and specifically on every individual prat of a small ka'ev, the shechina screams out. And says the Rebbe, this is why Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov, but he gave the bracha through the machshava of Esav. That he thought he was giving it to Esav, because we know that the primary difference between Esav and Yaakov is that when Esav's family is being described, there are very few of them that are being described, but they're referred to as nefashos, as multiple souls. But when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, each nefesh is counted shivim nefesh, 70 soul, each soul being its own thing. So that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained that Yaakov should receive the blessing, the blessing from Yitzchak, which shows the protection and the care and the love that Hashem has for every single Jew, it's dafka, each nefesh, individually. As Kla Yisrael ha'imavarech, v'ratzoni yisbarech, shagam guf Yisrael ha'prati, ha'yechidi yivarech. The problem is that since all of Am Yisrael is referred to as nefesh, one big nefesh, we could feel like we lost our individuality, so therefore Hashem organized, Hashem made it, min ha'shamayim, that there should be the machshava that the bracha is going to Esav, who each individual is counted as an individual entity. So that whereas Yaakov is called Shivim Nefesh, one humongous Shivim Nefesh, all one entity, still the Jewish people have individual realities through the Machshava of Yitzchak that he blessed Yaakov, but the Machshava that he was blessing Esav, who lived as individuals. I'll just share with you one more piece from Eish Kodesh, back in source number 9, from September 27th, 1941. On September 27th, 1941, was Shabbos Shuva, right before the awesome day of Tshuva. And again, as the way of any rabbi getting up to address his congregation, he begins with a question, Shuvi Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha kechui machem devarim. Shuvi Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha kechui machem devarim. Lahavin ma'at. To try to explain a little, you see how the piece that's there also, Shterech Agav, every piece begins to try to understand a little bit according to our small way of understanding. The pasuk begins, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Shuva is a lashon yachid, individual. U'misayim b'lashon rabim. But then the Torah ends by saying, Kechui machem devarim v'shuva Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shalom reveals through his Navi, Kechui machem devarim in the plural, Kechu, you, plural, should take the words of tshuva and return to Hashem. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu go from singular to plural, Kishav apimi menu, and then back to Lashon Yachid? So he explains an amazing Gemara, which we'll try to explain a little bit outside. We'll read the beginning inside, and we'll try to explain a little outside. It says in the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Zayin that Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the holy Rav Pinchas ben Yair, was once walking, Kishahalich lepidyon shvuyim, he was going to redeem some captives. Sha'amr liganai nahara, he said to this river, the river Ginai, Chalok li meimecha, split your waters for me. I'm coming through. Amr lei, so the river spoke back to Rav Pinchas ben Yair, already a remarkable feat, that he was speaking to rivers. And the river said back to him, Holech lasos ratzon konecha. Va'ani holech lasos ratzon koni. I am going to do the will of my master, and you're going to do the will of your master. Ata safek osa, vani vaday osa. You might succeed, you might not succeed. I'm definitely succeeding. I'm flowing the way that I'm supposed to flow. And you want me to split for you? We're both doing the will of God. And you might not succeed, and I'm definitely succeeding right now. So why should I split for you? Amar Leir of Pinchas ben Yair said, Im I ata cholek, gozrini alecha shelo yavar b'cha mayim l'olam. Nothing to talk about. Pinchas ben Yair gets straight to the point. He says, listen, it's not time for arguments. If you do not split for me, I will command Tzadik Gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim that no water flows through you for the rest of eternity. Okay? Chalakle, so it's split for him. Amr of Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Kama nafesh hai gavra, how unbelievable is this man, Rav Pinchas ben Yair? Kimosha v'shisin ravim. He's like Moshe Rabbeinu and the 600,000 Jews who came out of Egypt that the Yom Sof split for them. Shal pi pashut tzarech lomar ma tshuva al dvar hanahar halo lechora te'ena chazaka. Hold on a second. The river, what just happened in this Gemara? The river had a good taina. The river said, I'm doing the will of God, and I'm definitely doing it. And you're doing the will of God to go try to save some captives. But suffic whether you're going to succeed or not. So if Pinchas ben Yair just bullies his way through, the river had a good taina. So the Piazetzner says, he said, look in the Marshal talks about this, but he says, it seems to me that this is along the lines of what we know, that it's true that the river is doing the will of God. But just as the Ratzon Hashem is sometimes pushed to the wayside to save a Jewish life, that if you have a case of Pikuach Nefesh, so the will of God is that we should keep Shabbos. But if there's Pikuach Nefesh, so we push aside the will of God, or Mevatel, the Ratzon Hashem, to engage the higher Ratzon Hashem, which is to save the Jewish life. So the river said, I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem and you're doing the Ratzon Hashem. And we know that the halach is that even for Safik Pikuach Nefesh, we're Doche Shabbos. So the Piazetzner, very clever, says that the argument that he said back to him is, he said, I'm going to be Podesh Shvuyim, and even though it's a Safik, whether I'm going to save their lives or not, but you have to split for me. You have to split for me because that's the higher Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ratzon Elyon of Hashem. In the third paragraph, Nachzer l'anis kolos, we return to our main topic to explain. Kitzrichim l'das ma mesayim Rav Yosef. We need to understand what this last line of the Gemara, what Rav Yosef said, "Kama nafesh haygavra kemoshe v'shisin revavim." That how great is this Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, that he's as great as Moshe Rabbeinu and the 600,000 who came out of Egypt. V'ayin b'tosos yantif al avos. Look and see what the Tosos Yantif writes. He quotes from the Rambam. That an amazing question that we could ask on this Gemara. The Tosos Yantif doesn't directly address this Gemara, but the Tosos Yantif quotes the Rambam. I'm sure everybody heard this Rambam before. That the Shitas of Rambam is that there's a problem. Again, this is based on philosophical underpinnings that the Rambam is assuming, which not necessarily everybody assumes. That Hashem can't change His mind, and therefore to do something which changes nature is like Hashem changing His mind. And it must be that all miracles were built into the original act of Tzimtzum that Hashem created the world. That one act of creating the world is a mystery we'll never understand. But everything else came about through that original will of Hashem, so that Hashem made a Tanai with creation, that the donkey of Bilam should be able to speak, and that the Yamsuf should be able to split. So says the Piazetzner, I don't understand. Why have a machlokas with the river after all? If a miracle is about to take place, it must be that that miracle was destined to happen from the 6 days of creation. And if that miracle was destined to happen from the 6 days of creation, what's there to talk about? Third to last paragraph on the page. V'efshar shezeh yatainasu shalanar. You know what the river was saying? She'chashav shirak kol klal Yisrael chashuvim v'yikarim lefanav Yisbarach v'lo hayachid. That it could be that if all 600,000 Jews and Moshe Rabbeinu at the head are passing through the Yamsuf, that was what Hashem had in mind when He first created the world, that He made a Tanai with the ocean, that it should split. But to split for one, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, to split for one individual? If the sea should split for Moshe and 600,000 Jews, no problem, I'll split, says the river, but I'll only split for 600,000. I'll split for all the Jews, but for one individual? Who says that one individual means anything before Hashem? Ulfiya yachid eni tzarech levatel es halichosav. I don't need to stop doing my shlichos, shaholich lasos ratzon kono. But as we explained before, taosu, this is a big mistake. Kigam b'shvil, listen to these beautiful words. Kigam b'shvil safek nefesh achas b'Yisrael. Tzrichim lechal ha-Shabbos. Because even for one Jew, it's not only true that if there's a number of Jews whose lives are threatened, we're mechal Shabbos. But for one Jew and a suffix of one Jew. V'zeshem esayim Rav Yosef kama nafesh hai gavra. This one individual. Hainu, shezeh hayavikucham. This was their machlokas. V'zeh natzchur of Pinchas Ben Yair. Shehai gavra, nefesh achas mi Yisrael. This is exactly the machlokas, and this is exactly what Pinchas Ben Yair said. That for one soul, Hashem will alter all of creation. For one soul will override all of nature. V'mikol shekein is nefashos yikarim. All the more so, said the Rebbe, turning to those who are sitting in shul, that Hashem will make miracles for us. That Hashem will redeem us miraculously from this personal Mitzrayim. And this is obvious to all of us, even with our simple way of looking at the world. Since there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and Yisrael stands for Yeshishim Ruba Osis Torah, there are 600,000 Jews. And Yeshishim Ruba Anashim Li Yisrael, there are 600,000 letters and 600,000 Jews in that are written into the Torah, each one with a chelek in one letter. Ukeshechasra gam os achas, what happens when one letter is missing from the Torah? Kol sefer Torah pasul. And so if one Jew is not saved from this terrible atrocity that's befalling our people, what an unbelievable tragedy is. How humanizing must this have been for people to hear all around them, every single day, waking up, another 10, 15, 20 people in the ghetto, gone. Mass graves, no individual markers. And then the Rebbe turns to those in his shul and he says, and this is why Hashem speaks both to the klal and to the individual when it comes to tshuva. V'inei kemosha anu mischananim u'mavakshim me'Hashem shegam al aprat yachus. Just as we turn to Hashem and we beg the Rebbeinu shel Olam to save each individual, v'yaskoach ish Yisrael yatzel v'yoshia, kein gam tzarech kol ish prati mi'itanu lashuv b'tshuva, the ball comes back into our court also. It's our responsibility at some point. In the beginning, it's the responsibility of the parents, of the friends, of the educators, to be mechanich, the young men and women, but at some point, they have to look to themselves, and they have to realize, v'chutz mizeh, halo kol echad yeshnam chesronos la'atzmo, each person has his own thing, his own chasronos umidos nifgamos la'atzman shetzarech letaknan. Velo rak mishum tikun ha'pagamim rak. Like it says in the Sefer Eitz Chaim from the student of the Arizal of Chaim Vital, she'ein tzadik dom lechaveru ve'ein bria dom lechaverta. There is no tzadik which is like the next. There's no bria. There's nothing in creation which is like the next. Ukshiish Yisraeli od Hashem mezgala mikol echad or v'kedusha mashein mezgala b'chaveru. Every individual Jew is mezgala a certain light, a certain kedusha that can't be found in any other person. And therefore, after the Navi speaks and says, in general, everybody do tshuva b'chlal kechu imachem devarim b'lashon rabim. Then the Navi returns back to the theme of the individual, kishav api mimeno, because each individual needs to be saved, needs to do his piece. In source number 8, in the Chovos HaTalmidim, the Rebbe, on this theme of putting the ball back in the court of the students, the Rebbe writes that when a child is first growing up, Hayelid Bereshis, and we're coming to the end now, when a child comes to the beginning of his life, and there's a hispaschus, there's a opening of the das of that child, kiven she'ein lo das la'atzmo, the child doesn't have opinions yet, lahavdol bein tov ubein ra, to decide what is good and what is bad, v'lo ruach b'kirbo asher yidchafu lomar, nothing pushes him from the inside, a conscience from the inside, kezos kezos aso mizet tachdel, do this, don't do this, mochrachu leklot b'kirbo deos menachot, he has to look around and he has to see, what do my parents think is right? What do my friends think? Kimi'atzmo lo yada ma'alasos, because himself, he doesn't know what to do. Bilti asher yimdod, unless he measures himself, bedas anashim hagadolim, ma'tov u'ma'rabe inehim. But how unfortunate, woe unto the person. K'shegadol, imgam azlo yikne das la'atzmo v'lo ruach. If a person, after they grow up a little bit, doesn't start to think for themselves, start to realize that everything that they're looking towards another person to affirm, to give affirmation to their beliefs. If it's not something which resonates inside, so then there's something wrong. As das b'nei adam mikirbo lo tamush. Verak hi hamosheles. He is not the moshel, but something else rules over him. And so he'll bow before the things that are silly that they think. And if someone mocks him a little bit, he'll say, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I should stop doing that. The kol mas of rakidei lisiafos be'enei adam, and all of everything he's trying to do is just to look nice in other people's eyes. Hakatan shirotze lachakos es agdolim, a person who wants to make happy all those who are older than him. Lovish kovo me'il shel gadol, he wears a hat and a coat that belongs to his parents. Vayibazel ischok be'enei kol, and everybody laughs at him because it's cute. But when it comes to deciding what is right and wrong, it's not so cute. When all he does is just wear the little hat and wear the little jacket, which is too big for him. Eventually the ball goes back into the court of the child. He has to find his own niggun. So for the last 10 minutes that we have till 6:15, just to explain a little bit what's at stake. What did the Piazetzner feel was at stake if we do not find our niggun? What happens if a person does not, through the help of friends, through the help of those who love him, what happens if a person doesn't self-actualize? So again, we return to the Sefer Tzav Vaziris in source number 10, in a different journal entry, where the Rebbe is imagining to himself. And in that imagination, he came across, or he expressed a new way of looking at a well-known Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. One of the Kinyanei Torah, one of the 48 ways to acquire Torah, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, V'hamakir es makomo, someone who recognizes this place, which normally is used to explain, you should know your place, every person has to know their place. If there's a room full of great Torah scholars talking about the allowance or not allowance of, abortion or in vitro fertilization, and there's doctors and rabbis, and they're talking about the halachos and the medical. It's not the best idea for some guy who has elementary knowledge of both to start. Makiris makom, a person should recognize their place. But the Rebbe says a beautiful teaching. Have osa opol ba'olam V'henek lo mituvcha ad shetamid makomcha ba'olam yeh nikar. Hamakir es makomo grammatically actually means one who makes his place known in the world. Recognizing that I have something to make known in the world. That when people hear that niggun, they say, ah, that's this person's niggun. When they see that style of acting, of talking, of davening, of giving tzedakah, it's with the shading, with the coloring of that particular individual. That I have to give of myself to the world to the point that hamakir es makoma, I make my place in the world known. Ki'im makom ha'avos va'neviim v'shar tzadikim zechronom tzadikim levracha gam ata lo nikar ba'olam. How would the world look? The Rebbe is ruminating to himself. How would the world look if there was never an Avram Avinu? What would the world look like without an Avram Avinu? What would the world look like without a Moshe Rabbeinu? Ve'chaya olam shamem lulo haya ba'habal shem tov v'chulu. What would happen if there was never a Baal Shem Tov? What would this room look like right now? And so each person has to ask himself, and it's not, as I said before, this is not about gaiva. V'hamakir ha'chacham makir la'acher mismakoma. A person has to say, this is my chilek in the world. V'tamin makomo ba'olam nira. To make his place known in the world. What would the world look like without this person? And it's true of us, the way we look at ourselves. And it's true of the way we look at each other. To find the nekuda that we can't, the ein kitzva of the Divrei Chaim's father-in-law that each individual person has. With this, we can maybe get a glimpse into the halacha that the Rambam records in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Gimel Halacha Yud. That just as k'shem shalavim muzharim shalo la'avod avodas hakohanim, kach hakohanim muzharim shalo la'avod avodas halavim. That the halacha is that in the Beis HaMikdash, just outside our window, Shetzib B'mheira, just as the Levim are not allowed, at penalty of death, to do the avodah of the Kohanim, there are certain places they're just not allowed to go, so too the Kohanim are not allowed to, you would think, the Levim is a lesser job, so they're not, you know, there's no problem with a Kohen doing the job of a Levi. And yet the Torah says that the Kohen doing the job of a Levi is just as punishable. And not only that, but a Levi who does the job of a different Levi. You know, there are different jobs. Some of the Levim were in charge of the Mishmaros. They would guard the Beis HaMikdash at night. Some of them would sing on the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. Some of them were responsible for opening the doors of the Heichal. Some of them were responsible. Each one had his own job. So one Levi's Nigin was opening the gates of the Heichal. And one Levi's Nigin was actually singing a Nigin. And one Levi's Nigin was standing guard. And for a Kohen to take the place of any Levim, for the Levi to take the place of any of his friends, is punishable at penalty of death. Chayiv and Misa Bidei Shamayim. Because the whole purpose of that person in the world, and each of us, you don't have to be a Kohen or Levi, has a purpose in the world that if we don't do it, we're Chayiv Misa in the sense that our whole life just became futile. And so there's a sense of urgency that we feel for ourselves, and a sense of urgency that we should feel towards trying to reveal this in our friends. The story about Rav Huttner and the Satmar Rebbe were close. There's a lot of stories about how Rav Huttner, who was a mischievous personality, Rav Huttner liked to play games sometimes that he would invite, you know, like the Satmar Rebbe, who was extremely anti the modern state of Israel. And someone from Eretz Yisrael, let's say like Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook type of figure, and invite them to his office at the same time and give them meetings, both around the same time, and make sure that they would be like waiting in the... Part of me likes to think that maybe Rav Huttner had, you know, he was hoping maybe they'd strike up a conversation and realize they had... Part of me also knows that he liked that kind of thing. But he was very close to the Satmar Rebbe. And one time he had a meeting with the Satmar Rebbe, and he was running a little bit late, and the person who was with him, his attendant, probably some Talmud who was with him, saw that the moment that he was late, they were just downstairs walking up to Rav Huttner's office, they would end up being 35 seconds late to the meeting. He saw that Rav Huttner's face totally changed, and he became very, very anxious, very upset. And the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Huttner, went in, he had the meeting with the Satmar Rebbe, and afterwards, the student had the guts. He had to have guts to ask Rav Huttner anything. He was like a Kutzkerish type of Rebbe. And he said, Rebbe, I noticed that you were very, very upset when you were just one moment late for your meeting with the Satmar Rebbe. And Rav Huttner said that the pasuk refers, source number 12, the pasuk refers to Noach as Vayishar Ach Noach. Noach was the only one who remained. And Rashi writes Vayishar Ach Noach, that Noach was the one who remained. He quotes the Medrash Agadta that Noach was the one responsible. He would run throughout the Teva, running back and forth, trying to feed the different animals. And one time, he was a little bit late to feed the lion. And Vayishar Ach Noach, he just made it out alive. Because the lion swiped at Noach and terrible, terrible damage was done to Noach's leg. So Rav Huttner says, I don't understand. What did Noach do that was so bad? Noach was feeding hundreds and hundreds of animals. He had such responsibilities. And one time, as Rashi says, one time he was late, just one tiny bit late, for his meeting to feed the Aryeh, to feed the lion. So Rav Huttner said, if we were talking about a stam lion, it would make sense. But Noach had to understand, and listen carefully to these words, Noach had to understand that this lion was the only lion that was left in the world. If something would happen to this lion, there was a female lion also, but if something would happen to this male lion, that would be the end of all the lions. If we were talking about a stam lion, if it was just a simple lion, it wouldn't be such a big deal. There would be other lions. But when you know that this is the only lion that's left, when you know that the Satmar Rebbe is the only lion who's left from pre-war Europe, who just got out alive from the Holocaust. So you have to be even extra sensitive, to be extra careful. And it's not only true of a lion like the Satmar Rebbe, but every single Jew has to look at himself in that way. That if Chas V'Shalom, if a person does not make himself great, as the Rebbe writes in Chovas HaTamidim, already this year was getting long, so I didn't put it in, but as the Rebbe explains in the very first chapter of Chovas HaTamidim, if we do not become the next generation of great people, so then where do you think they're going to come from? And if each person relies on his friend to say, well, someone will do it, it's going to be someone. So it's true. Like Mordechai said to Esther, Revach V'Atzalah, Purim's coming soon, Revach V'Atzalah V'Makom Acher, that Hashem will make sure that the Jewish people have help from somewhere else. But if we're all relying on each other, so then it'll come mamish from somewhere else. Not from this yeshiva, not from this chevra sitting here, it'll come from somewhere else. Each person individually has to know that he's the last lion. If he doesn't make himself, it's not going to happen. Because as Rav Tzadok writes in source number 15, the last few sources over here, Kol echad miYisrael hu medugal bedavar echad al kol Yisrael bedavar zeh hu bechinas melech al kol Yisrael. Famous line from Rav Tzadok. That every Jew in the world is like a king with regard to some aspect of Avodas Hashem, that nobody else in the world can perfect that particular inyan the way that he can. Kol echad miYisrael, and if one person, each person, even if we would say, okay, so my friend will be a tzaddik, but he'll be his tzaddik, and you'll be your tzaddik. He'll have his niggun, and you'll have yours. Ultimately, why is it so important to recognize what is our individual koach and to seek, and we didn't even really scratch the surface of how to find that out, and how to, but just the importance of knowing that it's there, and maybe we'll talk another time about how to find it. Why is it so essential? So we'll end with this idea that I once saw in the Rush, but I thought that even though the Rush is a Rishon, and he was talking about a sugya in halacha, it appears to me that the Rush understood that one day somebody would darshan this al pi derech chassidus. The Rush writes on the Gemara in Bava Basra, the sugya of Kol D'Olam Gaver. The Gemara talks about a certain boat that two people are arguing over, Hahu Arba, there's a certain boat to have a Minsu Allah Beitre, there are two people who are arguing over it. Hai Amr Didihi, the Hai Amr Didihi, each one says it's mine, the other says it's mine. Achas Asa Chad Minayhu, one of them comes and brings it to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din says to them, Amar Lahu Afkua V'Kol D'Olam Gaver, a boat. It's not something that can be picked up. A talis, everyone knows the famous sugya, Shnei Uchsum B'Talis, two people come holding a But if it's nothing you can hold on to, so then how do you decide whose it is? So the Gemara says, Kol de'olam gaver, whoever's a bigger gibor, whoever's stronger, he's going to get it. We don't leave it to them, whoever gets it, he gets it. Says the Rosh, what kind of crazy chaos is it? We're trying to create anarchy? Whoever's stronger gets the boat? Says the Rosh, V'som chanal zeh shemisha adinimu korv lehivi rayos. The Rosh writes first, we should know that whoever actually owns that boat, we can be certain that he's going to bring better proofs because he cares more about the boat. Va'od shemisha din imo moser nafsho lahamid es shalo biyado yoser mima shemoser acher nafsho ligzol. Because someone who knows that something belongs to him is going to be more moser nefesh for that thing than a person who's just trying to steal something that doesn't belong to him. You hear the teaching? A person who knows that something belongs to him. When a person realizes, this, I was created for this. This is my Ein Kitzva on Yom Kippur. This is my niggin. This is my job. There's no end to the Mesiras Nefesh that a person will give and will spend. Mamish Mesiras Nefesh, giving over his life's blood to try to bring about that which he knows belongs to him. So we'll end with the tefillah. First we'll read, like we always do, we'll end with an English piece from Tzav Zeros. I'd like to read from the Rebbe, and then we'll end with tefillah from the Rebbe of Aaron of Karlin. This is from the journal entry of the piece. That's a little bit of a longer piece, like we always like to end with. Entry number 7, swimming against public opinion. As a torrent river surges forth, sweeping with it all that lies in its path, penetrating into deep recesses and washing away all buried things, so does the torrent of public opinion sweep along the individual mind. You may not know it, you may even deny it, but you have been brainwashed by common belief. Carried along perhaps more, perhaps less, you now think along these twisted paths. So stay away from the middle of the river, don't be concerned with what people say, but this alone will not protect you, because you cannot completely seclude yourself. Who can vouch that your wife or children will not be swept along with the flow? Again, remember the Rebbe's talking to himself here. They will then be the open floodgates to bring the floodwaters inside your doors. And who can abstain from breathing the air that carries the germ of public opinion? Thoughts and opinions are beyond time and space and flow from mind to mind in quantum leaps. Nor can you remain static in this torrent river just by standing firm in your place. You must actively swim against the flow. To be moser nefesh against the river. You may not be successful in swimming upstream, but at least you will not be swept down by the flow. So it is with the spiritual life and the purity of spirit that you have attained. You cannot retain them against the flow unless you continue to struggle for spiritual growth. You must swim upstream without respite. Upward, onward, against the flow, there may be a limit to how far you can go, but at least you will not be drawn down with the flow. So I'm with the tefillah. From Aaron of Karlin in the Sefer Beis Aaron, wrote B'derech Tefillah, Chiyuv al kol ish Yisrael leidav lachshov, every Jew has an obligation to know that there is something that they are unique for and about in the world, in that particular sphere, in that particular bechina. V'shehu v'gam ish acher kemo lo ye adayin ba'olam ki im haya kvar kemovo, if there was already someone like him, b'zeh olam lo ye lo haya hu nitzrach od lios ba'olam, he wouldn't need to be in the world. What does Hashem need to create him for? Each person is a new, and as the Revolbi wrote, Chad Pa'ami creation. Each person has to fix his own thing. Each person needs to fix his inyan, which will bring about the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. V'tzarech l'takin midosav v'torasso hashayichim l'neshama shalo ad sheyetukan kol ha'olam asal yedei klal Yisrael v'yeh im yirtza Hashem bi'as go'al tzedek m'hir v'menu amen ken yiratzah.